No, every now and then there is some commotion, sometimes in the home, and sometimes in the workplace. And sometimes we even see some commotion in some court proceedings where there is a lot of noise. And every now and then you hear, if in the home you hear a big voice, "Quiet, keep quiet," trying to keep the commotion down, maybe the children acting unruly. In the court, you see the judge will knock down some heavy thing, bam, and there will be silence. We see similar thing happening in the Church of Corinth. There was a lot of confusion, commotion. And now Paul is writing to call for order. Order. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me as we look at the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, 11th chapter, verses 2 to 16. Will you please stand up for the reading of God's word? First Corinthians 11, 2 to 16. And this is the powerful word of God. "Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the tradition just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying and prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her head cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her head cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. However, in the law, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God." You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, O God, that we have the Holy Spirit with us to give clarity, O God, to those things we do not understand, because he lives within us. So, Lord, be glorified today, and let your word go forth with power and with conviction, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said before, there's a commotion in the church. There were some newly invited members who were in the church, and some felt that they should not follow the teachings of Paul because they were not free. So Paul is calling for order in worship in the Corinthian church. Paul is calling for order of headship in worship in the Corinthian church. And as I just read the passage, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the tradition just as I delivered them to you. Some commentators believe that this is, how to call it, something of an opposite, a sarcasm that Paul was using on them. Something you want to say the opposite, but you say something else. But I believe Paul honestly want to thank them for the church, in spite of all, or despite of all that was happening. Paul, I heard from visitor from Corinth visiting him of disorder in public worship in the church, including a disgraceful practice, disgraceful disregard for the headship. People not respecting the headship, the head. Although he praises them, praises the Corinthians for steadfastness in following his teaching, but he also realizes that certain matters still need to be attended to. So he urges them to keep the traditions. If you follow in your outline, you'll see that. He said, keep the traditions, keep my teachings. Paul is reminding them to keep his teaching, the teaching he had handed down to them on the headship of the church, the headship, H-E-A-D-S-H-I-P. They can't pick and choose. Our leaders are leaders. So their leaders must be respected. And so he said, keep the tradition, keep my teaching. And then secondly, he said, observe the order of headship. Observe the order of headship. Christ is over man. Man is over woman. And God is over Christ. That's the order. That's the order. God is over Christ. Headship means to have the appropriate responsibility to lead with corresponding accountability. One commentator wrote, when God calls women in the church to recognize the headship, it is not because women are unequal or inferior, but because there is a God-ordained order. There is a God-ordained order of authority to be respected. God wants both women and men to honor and respect the order he has established. The order he has established. No matter how you feel, this is God's word. This is his order. Christ over man. Man over woman, and God over Christ. And so he goes on to apply this principle of leadership, of headship in the church. Look at verses 4-6. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. For every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head. For she is the one and the same as the woman who head is shaved. There are cultural implications that I will explain to them later in the Corinthian church. So no hair covering for a man in worship, hair covering for a woman. Paul is saying that the Christians at Corinth, this is how you honor divine headship. Make sure, men, you do not cover your hair while you are praying or prophesying. And woman, make sure you do not cover your hair when you are praying or prophesying. There are cultural implications that we should note here. Because you see, in Corinth, women, Christian women, were setting themselves apart from the other cultures, the women in the other culture. So, one commentator said, Corinthian women who appear in the assembly without hair covering were actually acting on a lower level of temple prostitutes. So you see where Paul is going, acting as temple prostitutes. The prostitute wore their hair short and did not cover their hair. No covering. So the people are coming to the church in public worship. And Paul is addressing the issue related to the Corinthian culture that is being allowed, the Corinthian culture that was being allowed to disrupt the worship. The people come in the church and they're not following the rules. So the church was disrupted, confusion. But the question for us today, how are we allowing the culture around us to infiltrate our church, infiltrate the Christian church? It may not be hair covering. It may not be any other thing contrary. But how are we allowing the culture around us to infiltrate the church, thereby disrupting pure biblical worship? What is the attitude of our hearts when we come to worship God? What is the attitude of our heart when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to obeying God's authority and submitting to his divine will in the church? What is our attitude in the home? What is the preparation of our hearts as we come to worship the Almighty God? It may not be hair covering. Oh, where do we stand before God when we come in the sanctuary, his holy hall? Paul further explained the significance of headship. Look at verses 7 to 10. For a man ought not to have a head cover, since he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. So here he goes again. Man, you are the image of God. And I said, this is related to the Corinthian culture. Man, you are the image of God. Man, you are the image of God. Woman, you are the glory of man. The order of creation further clarified that headship. Woman originates from man. Man was created for woman was created for God, for man's sake, woman originated from man, God created man first, and then the woman. So woman was created for man's sake, and not man for woman's sake. God still laying the order. Another reason God has established male leadership in the church is the presence of angels. You say, what that coming from, Pastor William? Yes, the presence of angels. Every time we come to worship God, angels are present. Maybe you never heard this before. Angels are present. Watching as to whether our worship order is respectable to the Almighty God. Angels are present in corporate worship. Even this morning, they are here. They are here. And that is why we can't come to church any kind of way. The celestial world is watching. God is present. If God is present in our worship, anything angels will not be here. They, angels are in our corporate worship. Verse 10. Therefore, the woman ought to be a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. It is believed that angels are present at our gathering of Christian worship, and they note everything we do that does not glorify God. They are offended by any impropriety in worship, and so we have to be careful. Be careful how you worship God in church services. Be careful, angels are watching, but above all, God is present. He's present in our worship. The Bible said when Isaiah went to the temple to pray, he saw the Lord all lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And the seraphim were flying. So, we must be careful. Maintaining the independence of man and woman. This is very important in leadership, in headship. Maintaining the independence of man and woman in the law, in headship. So far, Paul has described the order of divine headship, Christ over man, man over woman, and God over Christ. However, Paul says, in spite of the order, man over woman, in spite of this order, man and woman are independent. Man and woman are independent. Look at verse 11 in our text. However, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. We're not better than them. It's just a position God has given us. We're not better than them. And they are not better than us. But there has to be a headship. And Paul gives reason for this interdependence. Man, woman came from man in creation, but guess what? Man came from woman through birth. Man and woman need each other. There must be mutual respect. There is a critical independence that must be recognized in the framework of headship, both in the home and in the church. One woman will ask, she had not been married before. So she will ask by somebody, all the years, why haven't you gotten married? And the woman said, you know what? I never met a man who could master me. In other words, I never met a man who will respect me for who I am. I meet your respect, she said. Men want to dominate women, even in Christian leadership, but this ought not to be. They are interdependent before God, before Christ. So Paul goes back to the head, to teaching hair covering. He goes back that woman's hair should be covered and man's hair should be uncovered. Nature, common sense, and experience teach that hair covering for a woman in worship and no hair covering or no long hair for a man in worship is the proper thing to do. Paul writes, judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her hair covered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory? For hair is given to her for a covering. So Paul is saying, a woman's hair covering is a glory. A man's hair covering is a disgrace. Culture this way back, I don't know from culture to culture, but when we note in our own immediate Liberian culture, as far back as we can, we never saw, I don't want to be particular, but we never saw long hair before. Maybe Rastafari came on later. But yeah, you see, the Bible is saying woman hair covering is a glory. It's a glory. A man not covering your hair is a disgrace. Again, this is a cultural issue here that the Corinthian church should be aware of. It was not strange to them, they already know it. Women should observe hair covering, and it is a dishonor to a man to wear long hair because it is considered feminine. Considered feminine. If we turn to Deuteronomy 22-25, it is written, it says here, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord our God. Although this verse does not mention hair, clothing, but the implication is there. The implication is there. So, my dear people, judge for yourselves. What does the culture? Does it really allow it? God has established his order of headship. Christ is over man. Man is over woman. God is over Christ. While man is the head of the home, both woman and man are interdependent in Christ. Christian men who are leaders of the church, please respect our women. Women, please respect your leaders who are Christian men. And may Christ be honored in all things to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God this morning. One commentator said, this passage is like you taking your time walking on the field, just enjoying yourself, and all of a sudden, you see this sign, landmines. God will clarify it to us. We're not going to run away from God's word because it will offend people. God has established his order, and we must abide by it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. Although many pastors have run away from it, but this is your word, God. Holy Spirit, give us illumination, give us conviction, and give us clarity as we seek to honor Christ in our churches. Yes, Lord, you are over man. Man is over woman. God is over Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.